You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, it's Wednesday at 4 o'clock. You know what that means. We go to a thing we call the Grand Council every week. I bring on two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing this longer than I have, and we ping each other with questions. We see what we get in terms of responses, and we don't even always agree, but we still love each other when it's done. So let me just call the roll real quick from Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN 92.5 FM 770 FM program director, morning show guy, also writes for Yellowhammer, Dale Jackson. Is you here?
Yeah, you got most of that right.
What? Okay. All right. Hey, and then also our buddy Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions of our state and the executive editor for 1819 News. Is you here, Jeff Poor?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we appreciate it. All right. That being said, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Boomer.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ta-da! All right. All right. Here we go. All right, fellas, you know the deal. We ping each other with questions. We don't even know the questions in advance. And I'm going to say, Dale Jackson, start us off.
All right. This one is not a very sexy question, but I think it's an interesting one nonetheless. Rex Reynolds was on Capital Journal. He talked a little bit about the current state of Alabama's budget. We've been hearing a bunch of different things, whether we're going to have to rewrite the tax code or be able, excuse me, to rewrite the tax code, or maybe we'll just do a one-time rebate and call everyone lucky to get that. And now it really seems like maybe we're backing off that too, because the current state of the American economy, we got to have enough money to give money to Ukraine, and we got to print enough money for all the illegals we're bringing in. So maybe the economy isn't going in the direction we want it to. Maybe we hold off on doing some rebates and tax reforms and things like that. Is this the switch part of the bait and switch?
Wow. What a question. Jeff, you go first.
I wouldn't read into it too much. I think they're going to do something. They're not going to get away with not giving any of this back to the taxpayer. Every other state surrounding Alabama has done some kind of tax cut, tax holiday. They got to do something. They're not going to get away with rolling it back and saying we need to save this money for later. There's just no way. Not that we've gone this far. I think it's just a question of how much is it going to be.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, we've had on my show, and I know you guys have had on your shows, I've had State Senator Orr, who's in leadership in the Senate. We've had Nathaniel Ledbetter, who's future Speaker of the House, and other members of the body have all come on and said, oh, yeah, we're doing something. And to back off of it now, it'd be more than a bait and switch. It would be like saying we caught you in a lie. So your own question, Dale. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it seems very much like a, for lack of a better term, bait and switch. I think that might be where all of this might be heading. I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but it'll be interesting to see how more people react as we get closer and closer to actually being able to do something. I think you guys are right. People will be mad about it, but we'll see. I mean, there just doesn't really seem to be many penalties for doing stuff like that in the state of Alabama right now.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, there's never been a time when we were more appropriately poised to be able to give something back to the people. If they don't do it right now, then they're just bold-faced liars. All right, tell you what, I'll take the next question real quick. Birmingham Southern, private school, the same school that last year was leaning on its private bona fides and saying, you know, that whole vaccine passport thing, we're allowed to charge more for an unvaccinated student. We can oppress people like that because we're private. Well, suddenly they want public funds. They came out and asked for $37.5 million from the taxpayers from county, city, and state. Are we going to wind up seeing Birmingham Southern get state money? Jeff, you first.
Probably there'll be a push for it. I guess if Jabba Wagner's pushing for it, that's what it sounds like to me, Jim Carnes. I thought some lawmakers are very skeptical. What the fear is, if Birmingham Southern today, then, what do you, well, who's coming with their handout tomorrow? I heard Alabama State, Alabama A&M. that you know, you can give it to Birmingham Southern, you got to do it. But I mean, they bailed out the World Games. Why would they bail out Birmingham Southern?
Wow. Dale, your thoughts?
I don't see how they could get it done. I mean, you were a Alabama State Senator at one time, and I just got to ask you, you know, if Birmingham comes hat in hand and says, help us out, guys, I just don't know why the rest of the state would go, yeah, okay. I just don't understand why they would do it. But Jeff makes the argument that they've done it plenty of other times, and there'll be other places that want to do something else, and maybe they do, but I don't see what sense it makes. Is this going to be a loan, or are we just giving a gift? Which is it going to be?
And that's exactly right. And that's the thing is, right now, nobody has given an economic impact study to the public to show what the loss would mean, or for that matter, what the retention would mean. No one has talked about whether this is a loan or whether it's a grant. No one has talked about whether there's any clawback provisions that say you have to do certain things differently, since Birmingham Southern claims it's their own fault that they're in this position. Bad accounting, they say, and a big building campaign that got away from them. So why they're not doing a bond issue like most colleges would do, I don't know. But all said and done, I think it's bad form, and I think we better be very cautious about every. By the way, we did have things in the budgets, like Marion Military Institute, the private school. You've got, at one point, Barber Motorsports was getting some funding from the state, but those were couched under economic development and other, but they were small by comparison. There's $37 million? Good Lord. So I say no. Jeff, what's your question, man?
Earlier today, Speaker Designate Ledbetter announced last round of committee assignments. Two interesting committee assignments that caught my eye. Number one, for other reasons, Paul Lee is going to stay on Health Committee as the chairman. That's, you know, that could be consequential later on if we try to roll back what state health officer does. But also, this is probably where y'all will be interested, Terry Collins will retain her chairmanship as the Education Policy Committee chairwoman, I think probably to the chagrin of the AEA and others. But seeing that, does that make you optimistic about school choice given Terry Collins' positions in the past?
Dale, you first.
I'm optimistic and very pro school choice. But I think what they're going to do is, I hate to use this term again because it sounds like I'm being lazy here, but a little bait and switch on us to where the AEA goes, yeah, we'll take this part of school choice. So I think something will come. We'll get the camel's nose under the tent, sort of like the medical marijuana stuff, although that comes in a suppository form, so maybe it's a little different there. I think the school choice stuff looks a little better with Terry Collins there. I'll just be honest with you.
It does, and I like Terry Collins a lot personally. I will say this: last year there were certain school choice measures that didn't even see the light of day. It didn't matter who was carrying them. In fact, when you look at the fact that Charlotte Meadows was basically drawn out of her own district, and she was the school choice leader in the House at the time, and then you look at the fact that Del Marsh was the former pro tem, and he couldn't get his own bill out of committee. You have to wonder, is there any actual impetus going in the House or Senate in Alabama for school choice? And I hope that Terry's going to have some backing and some chutzpah to go get it done. But we'll have to wait and see. Jeff, your own question. What are your thoughts?
No, I do think it's important. The AEA really, my understanding is, just they didn't want her back in that position. She'd been a thorn in their side. And it came at the last moment, which is curious to me, but I think it's a good sign. And I also think this, there's enough clamoring for school choice. You got to get something. They may call it school choice. It may not be the Arizona bill that everybody wants, but they're going to try to throw a bone to that constituency just to appease them, I believe.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see. Hey, let me ask you with about 30 seconds just quickly, are you guys encouraged or discouraged by the appointments for the House committees right now by Nathaniel Ledbetter? Jeff?
I feel like it's about where we thought it would be. I'm a little surprised by Rex Reynolds, a good buddy of mine, getting the general fund. It's curious how that's going to go. And I don't know what to make of Joe Lovern as Rules Committee chairman at all. That is really a head-scratcher.
How about you, Dale?
I'm not too surprised. I mean, nothing too crazy. The Terry Collins thing is, I think, the best thing happening right now. So we'll take that little small victory and hope that we can ride it to some form of school choice and then go from there.
All right, fellas, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back for round two of the Grand Council. We're on with FM Talk 106.5's and 1819 News' Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, also writes for Yellowhammer. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're in round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News and Dale Jackson from 92.5 FM 770 AM WVNN and Yellowhammer. All right, listen, I think, Dale, you got the next question, bud. What you got?
Who looks more ridiculous? Zelensky in his green military fatigue or military gear, or Fetterman in his shorts and sweatshirt? That's not my serious question, but I just interested to know.
I will have to say the more ridiculous of the two is Fetterman, because even though Zelensky's, you know, at a press conference at the White House in what amounts to a sweatshirt and you know, fatigue pants, he still sports it pretty well. And but Fetterman always looked like a lump, like he rolled out of bed like a college student, found something that was the least dirty and put it on and went somewhere. But I did see something on Twitter earlier. A guy I follow said, you know, you're $47 billion in the bag when you just roll up to the door in sweatpants and catch your money. Jeff, you chime in, bud. Did we lose Jeff?
For ridiculous, probably. I'd say probably Fetterman. I don't know. Zelensky just looks like a second world country, I don't know, despot.
Jeff didn't like that question. So here's my real question for you. In light of Zelensky getting this giant gift, what's the best Christmas present you've ever received?
Well, it wasn't $47 billion. I can assure you of that.
What is...
he's just taken over with, apparently Dale didn't have any real questions today. He just wants to.
I knew that would bother
has real
Jeff.
Questions. He always does this. He always with last minute. He doesn't think this out. This is what he always does. You can tell he's always
having
it.
Dale, do
I
some...
put more thought into it than you think, because I was just messing with Jeff. So I want to know what made Jeff happy when he was a little boy.
We're gonna move on.
I thought I'm having to do a show with Dale Jackson.
Oh my gosh! All right, listen, I'm jumping in before we get into our row here. My question. Back to real stuff. Thank you very much. $1.7 trillion, 4,155 pages. The omnibus spending bill got dropped in senators' laps at 1:30 a.m. in yesterday morning, and they're allegedly pushing it forward for a potential vote as early as today or tomorrow. Are they going to get this passed despite the fact that conservative Republicans are saying stop and hold fast? Dale?
Don't you know it's Christmas? They only have so many days. Richard Shelby cannot stay up there that many more days. He needs to come home and have plum pudding, okay? That's what needs to happen. So they need to get this passed. Who cares what's in it? Just pass it so these guys can come home. They've worked so hard.
Don't read what's in it. And by the way, how can you read what's in it? You'd have to literally read a page every 2 minutes for the next 6 days to be able to get there.
I love the idea behind this. Is we've had an entire year to mess with this, but we must get it done in the next 3 days or the country ends.
But there was,
it gives Zelensky a bunch of money out the door.
And there was truly no committee process for people to vet this in advance. They dropped the bill outside of committee process and said, bam, we're going to a vote.
But the answer to your question is yes, they will get it done.
Oh, my gosh. All right, your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, they'll easily get it done. It was kind of designed to get done this way. How many times have we seen this play before where – we were at the last minute before the holidays, and they're voting at the last minute. It shouldn't be that way, but you get Richard Shelby, $650 million worth of earmarks. This is what you get.
And there it is. And by the way, in case you guys hadn't already seen some of the strange things that are in it, you'll be happy to know that there's like $715 million to help with gay and non-binary housing and things like that. It's just, it's wonderful. All the goodness in there. Jeff, your question, what do you got?
Well, what kind of tangential to this is the earmark question. And I am curious. So earmarks are back, and we see what the effect they have on the process. Should they be back?
No. I recognize there's going to be times when you're fighting for something that your constituents would benefit from, and it's going to be like, okay, if you got something done for a highway system that happens to run through Alabama, did that mean it was truly an earmark, or was it because you're helping the highway system? But here's the thing. Earmarks are sometimes a necessary evil, but they've become more evil than necessary. And I really believe that we've got to get away from this massive amount of earmarking, because all we're doing is seeing pork. I mean, we're watching salmon get plussed up in the Pacific and coral reefs getting plussed up in the Atlantic, and we're watching gay and non-binary housing in Albany, New York, and the Black's Wax Museum in where is that, Philadelphia or whatever. It's ridiculous, and we've got to get away from this kind of pork-level spending, or at least require some measure of justification as to why it benefits the common good. Dale?
Here's my question. What is gay housing? Do you have to, like, go in the back door or something?
Let's just go ahead and pretend.
Hey, come on.
Let's just go ahead and pretend you didn't do that on my show, Dale Jackson.
It's my last show. This is the last thing I'm doing in the whole year. I got to get it all in, guys.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, listen, fellas, in case I have not said it to you most recently, I appreciate you, and Merry Christmas to both of you and yours, even you, Dale Jackson.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Merry Christmas, Jeff.
Merry Christmas. Sorry, Dale ruined your show, Bill.
don't worry. I've got audience members out there that are so in tune with Dale that they're like, hey, he said it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, fellas. Appreciate you. Merry Christmas. Oh, wow.
Merry Christmas.
Good times, as always. I love the Grand Council, though. That cracks me up. You know how we started that, Boomer? Did I ever tell you how we started that? We had a technical glitch the very first time that I was hosting from my location. The power went out. Literally, the power went out. There was no broadcast capability. And so I called Dale on the phone and said, dude, the power went out. And he goes, I got it. And he ran down to the studio in Athens and just jumped on the air. And then he calls me and goes, hey, I'm going to dial you in and Jeff, and we're just going to talk. And I said, okay.
Sounds good.
So yeah, so that's what we did. But we wound up doing kind of a mini Grand Council without meaning to for about an hour. We just went back and forth. What'd you see this article? Yeah, I saw the article. What'd you think about that? I didn't like that. And we just talked back and forth. And I thought, that actually was very cool. So the Grand Council was birthed out of a technical glitch from a power outage. And here we are today.
That's awesome.
With sound effects and everything.
With all the sound effects.
And moderately inappropriate more, comments from Dale Jackson and all of it. And angry outbursts from Jeff Poor.
Against Dell. I'll let you.
He always does this. All right, folks. You stay tuned. We're going to come right back. Number three of the Triple Dipper. That's right. I'm getting all three in, plus all the guests at the Grand Council. The Obfuscation Nation. This is maddening. You're going to want to hear this one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.